Nikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something really fundamental, maybe even the ultimate shortcut to genuine inner peace.
That sounds about right.
We're exploring Dr. David R. Hawkins' hugely influential work, Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender.
It's definitely a profound book. And, you know, our mission today is basically to give you the practical tools for what Hawkins calls emotional liberation.
Liberation. Okay.
Yeah. He argues that most of our suffering, really, it doesn't come from what happens to us, but from how we internally resist our own feelings about it.
So it's an inside job.
Exactly. And he doesn't just point out the problem. He offers this, well, simple, but pretty revolutionary technique to find freedom, like right in the moment.
Okay. A simple technique for freedom. That's a big claim. Intriguing, though. Before we get into the how-to, maybe we should talk about the person behind it, Dr. David R. Hawkins. His background seems, well, pretty unique.
Oh, absolutely. He lived from 1927 to 2012, and his story is fascinating. He wasn't just a spiritual teacher writing from an ivory tower.
Yeah.
He was a really accomplished psychiatrist, a consciousness researcher, even director of research at Brunswick Hospital. We're talking over 50 years of clinical practice. That clinical depth gives his work, you know, a serious grounding.
But there's more to it, isn't there? The personal side? I read that his own life experience was kind of the ultimate proof for his ideas.
That's exactly it. The sources mention this really dramatic spiritual awakening he had back in 1965. And apparently this came after he was critically ill, like on the verge of death in his late 30s. Multiple severe illnesses.
Wow. And he actually credited the technique we're discussing today, the surrender mechanism, for his own recovery.
He did. He said that completely letting go of his internal resistance to all that suffering was what led to his recovery and this huge shift in his consciousness. So it's all integrated for him. The theory, the decades of clinical work, and this incredibly intense personal experience.
And underpinning all this, he developed something quite famous, right? The map of consciousness.
Yes, the map of consciousness.
Yeah.
He used applied kinesiology muscle testing to try and sort of quantify the energetic level of different emotions and states of being. It provides this kind of scientific-like framework for thinking about emotional and spiritual growth.
Okay, so that sets the stage nicely for the book itself, Letting Go. What's the core idea?
Well, fundamentally, it's presented as a practical manual. It's designed to help you break free from those invisible, unconscious emotional patterns. The ones that often, without us realizing, kind of dictate our successes and failures in relationships, health, career, everything.
Patterns we don't even know are running the show.
Exactly. And Hawkins points out that most of us are stuck using really ineffective ways to deal with our feelings. He identifies three main traps we fall into.
Okay, let's hear them.
So the first big one is suppression or repression, basically pushing feelings down, ignoring them, pretending they aren't there. Consciously or unconsciously.
Like trying to hold a beach ball underwater.
Perfect analogy. Yeah. Yeah. It takes constant effort, and eventually it just pops up, often stronger. Hawkins says this leads directly to things like anxiety, depression, even physical illness. It builds pressure internally.
Okay, so suppression doesn't work. What's trap number two?
Expression. This is the opposite in a way. It's acting out emotions, venting, yelling, blaming others. We sometimes think this is healthy, like getting it off your chest.
Yeah, catharsis, right.
Right. But Hawkins argues it actually just reinforces the negative energy. It might feel like a release for a second, but you're essentially practicing being angry or upset, strengthening that neural pathway, not dissolving the root energy.
Okay. So venting doesn't really solve it either. What's the third trap?
Escape. This is all about numbing or distracting ourselves. It could be anything: excessive TV, social media, food, workaholism, substance use. We're basically trying to avoid feeling the feeling.
Running away from it.
Exactly. But the emotion is still there, under the surface, locked in the system. And it takes energy to keep escaping, to keep it suppressed. The point is, none of these three, suppression, expression, or escape, actually dissolve the emotional energy itself.
Which leads us finally to his solution. The mechanism of surrender. This is the heart of it, isn't it?
This is the core. It's presented as the superior fourth option, the one that actually allows the energy behind the emotion to dissipate, leading to genuine psychological healing and potentially spiritual growth.
Okay, let's get practical. How does it actually work? Because the word surrender can sometimes sound passive or weak.
That's a really important point, and it's crucial to understand what he means by it. Letting go isn't about getting rid of the emotion, paradoxically. And it's also not about letting the emotion just swamp you or take over.
So what is it then?
It's about surrendering the resistance to the feeling, dropping the fight against what you are experiencing internally right now.
Okay, hang on. That sounds counterintuitive. If I'm feeling, say, intense anxiety before a presentation and I stop resisting the anxiety, won't I just get overwhelmed by panic? Don't I need to resist it to stay functional?
That's the exact misconception Hawkins tackles. He says the resistance is the problem. Trying to control or fight the anxiety is what locks its energy in place, makes it persist. Surrender is actually the way through it.
Okay, so how do I do that? What are the steps?
It's surprisingly simple, though not always easy at first. Three basic steps. First, become aware of the feeling. Just notice it. Where is it in your body? Is it a tightness, a buzzing, a heat? Just observe the physical sensation without judgment.
Okay, awareness, step one.
Step two, allow the feeling to be there. This is key. Don't judge it as bad. Don't analyze why you feel it. Don't try to change it or push it away. Just let it be. Give it permission to exist for a moment.
Just allow it. Okay. And step three.
Step three is the active part, in a sense. Focus on the energy behind the feeling and consciously let go of wanting to change it. You're surrendering the desire for the feeling to be different, the desire for it to go away. You stay with the sensation, gently releasing your internal grip on it.
So I identify the feeling, I allow it without fighting, and then I focus on releasing the need for it to stop.
I just stay
with it until the energy runs its course.
Exactly. You let the energy flow and dissipate naturally. The core insight is that phrase, what you resist persists. Acceptance or surrender of resistance is what allows the emotional energy to complete its natural cycle and dissolve.
That makes sense. It's like opening a valve instead of trying to clamp it shut.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And doing this consistently is what helps you move up that map of consciousness we mentioned earlier. That map basically charts emotions energetically from low energy states like shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, up through anger, pride, courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, and ultimately enlightenment. Where you are on that map tends to correlate with your overall experience of life.
Okay, let's look at that map a bit more. Some placements are surprising. We get why shame or fear are low. But Hawkins puts desire quite low down too. Why is that? Isn't desire like motivation, ambition?
It's a subtle point. Yeah. In the Hawkins model, desire isn't just wanting something. It's defined more as an insatiable craving that comes from a sense of lack. It's the feeling of, I don't have enough love, money, status, and needing something external to feel whole. It's inherently needy. Surrendering desire in this context doesn't mean becoming passive. It means letting go of the anxious craving so you can pursue goals from a place of fullness, not deficiency.
Okay, that distinction is important. What about pride? That feels good, right? Accomplishment.
It can feel good temporarily, but Hawkins sees it as a major trap. Why? Because pride is inherently fragile. It depends entirely on external validation, on comparing yourself to others, on feeling superior.
So it's defensive.
Very defensive, always needing to protect its position. It's considered a block to further growth because it's rooted in the ego's need to be special.
So below these states, life feels pretty tough. Where's the turning point on the map?
The critical threshold, the game changer, is courage.
Courage.
Yeah. Below courage in states like fear, grief, apathy life, tends to feel like something happening to you. You feel like a victim of circumstances. At the level of courage, there's a fundamental shift towards empowerment.
And courage isn't necessarily not feeling fear, right?
Exactly. It's the willingness to feel the fear, acknowledge it, and act anyway. It's the point where you start taking responsibility for your inner state. It's the gateway from the lower, more forceful states to the higher, truly powerful states like acceptance, reason, and love.
So why don't people just choose courage and move up? What stops them from using this surrender technique more?
Obstacles. Mostly internal ones. The biggest, according to Hawkins, is the ego's investment in its own stories and positions. Meaning, part of us likes being the victim sometimes, or gets satisfaction from being righteous and angry, or identify strongly with past hurts. If you surrender that long-held resentment, say, towards your family, who are you then?
Ah, the fear of losing your identity, even if it's a painful one.
Precisely. There's a fear of the unknown, a fear of dissolving the familiar self, even if that self is suffering. But Hawkins argues that consistently practicing surrender gradually clears out these old, unconscious emotional programs.
And that clearing process is what leads towards What?
Towards self-realization, towards recognizing your true nature beyond any temporary emotional state or limiting identity. You start to see the emotions as just weather passing through the sky of your awareness, rather than defining who you are.
Okay, let's really boil this down. What are the big aha moments or paradigm shifts someone gets from this work?
I think the first massive one is understanding the illusion of control. So much suffering comes from this deep-seated belief that we can and should be able to control our inner feelings, our thoughts, maybe even external events. This constant effort to control creates the very resistance that causes the pain. Surrender is letting go of that need to micromanage everything internally.
That's huge. What's another key shift?
Reframing emotions as energy, not identity. This is so practical. Instead of thinking, I am angry or I am depressed, shifting to, I am experiencing the energy of anger right now, or there is sadness energy moving through me.
It depersonalizes it.
Exactly. It creates distance. It's no longer you. It's just an energy pattern you're observing. And when it's just energy, you can allow it to move and dissipate without getting tangled up in stories about it.
That makes the surrender process feel much more achievable.
It does. And related to that is redefining surrender as an act of power, not weakness. Our culture often equates surrender with giving up or defeat. But here is the opposite. It's the powerful choice to stop the internal war. Fighting your feelings takes an enormous amount of energy. Choosing to surrender that fight, to allow the feeling, is actually an act of profound inner strength. You reclaim all that wasted energy.
Okay, one more big theme.
I'd say it's the understanding that the unconscious mind is the true determinant of our experience. This explains why sometimes positive thinking or willpower alone don't work long term.
Right, you can say affirmations all day.
But if underneath you've got this deep unconscious reservoir of fear or unworthiness that hasn't been surrendered, that underlying energy is what's really shaping your reality and attracting corresponding experiences. You have to clear the unconscious baggage first through surrender.
Hawkins was really good at crystallizing these ideas into memorable lines, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. The book is full of them. They're like little nuggets of wisdom that stick with you.
Let's share a few. What's one that captures the core mechanism?
Okay, how about this? Letting go involves being aware of a feeling, letting it come up, staying with it, and letting it run its course without wanting to make it different or do anything about it.
That's just pure instruction. Awareness, allowing, non-interference. Simple.
And then there's the one about why we get stuck. Resistance is the very thing that keeps the feeling there. What you resist persists.
That's the fundamental law, isn't it? If you remember nothing else, remember that resisting just fuels the fire.
Exactly. And here's one that shifts the focus from self-improvement to self-acceptance. The goal is not to become a perfect person, but to become free of the illusion that we are imperfect to begin with.
Ooh, I like that. It's about uncovering our inherent wholeness, not endlessly fixing flaws.
Right. And finally, one about the potential power and speed of this. One moment of profound letting go can undo years of accumulated negativity.
Wow. That speaks to the idea that it's not necessarily a slow, grinding process. A real shift can happen quickly when you finally release that core resistance.
It suggests the nonlinear nature of healing. When the dam breaks, things can change fast.
Okay, this is all fascinating, but let's bring it right down to earth. How can someone listening right now start applying this, like today, in their real messy life?
Great question. Let's think about relationships. This is where emotions run high, obviously.
For sure.
So imagine your partner says something that triggers anger or hurt in you. The usual reaction is immediate defense or attack, right?
Yeah, lash out or shut down.
With surrender, the invitation is, first, feel the actual physical sensation of that anger or hurt in your body. Allow it. Release the resistance to it before you respond, just for a few seconds. Then you can choose a response from a place of clarity, not just raw reactivity. It changes the whole dynamic.
Okay, that makes sense. Feel it, allow it, then act. Hmm. What about at work, stress, deadlines?
Absolutely. Professional life. Think about that knot of anxiety before a big meeting or the fear of failing on a project. Instead of fighting the feeling or distracting yourself, take a moment to just allow the sensation of fear or pressure. Surrender the resistance to it.
What does that do?
It frees up mental energy. You stop wasting focus on managing the fear and can direct it towards the task itself. You often find you make clearer decisions and are more creative when you're not operating from a place of underlying panic or trying to constantly seek approval.
Right, acting from centeredness, not fear. And what about health?
Health and well-being. Hawkins talks a lot about the mind-body connection. If someone is dealing with chronic pain or a difficult diagnosis, obviously you treat the physical condition. But you can also apply surrender to the emotional resistance.
Resistance-like.
Like the anger about being sick, the fear of the future, the frustration with limitations. Surrendering the resistance to the situation, the emotional charge around it, can significantly lessen the overall burden and stress on the system, which often helps physical functioning too. It's about letting go of the story of suffering around the physical sensation.
So in all these areas, it comes back to that core idea, stop fighting the internal feeling.
Exactly. It really is an empowering shift. You realize you're not just a cork bobbing on the waves of your emotions.
Yeah, you're not a victim of your own inner world.
And I think the most valuable takeaway, honestly, is how accessible this is. The key to freedom isn't out there somewhere. It doesn't depend on circumstances changing. It's internal, and it's available right now, just by choosing to drop the resistance in this moment.
That simplicity is kind of radical, isn't it? It shifts everything from trying to constantly manage and control life, which is exhausting.
Totally exhausting.
To actually experiencing life more fully through this pathway of surrender. Recognizing maybe that our underlying state beneath the emotional noise is already peaceful and free.
That's the ultimate promise, I think. It's a profound shift in perspective and definitely something worth practicing, even with the small annoyances and resistances we feel every single day.
A powerful idea indeed. Something to definitely explore further.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Yekatra Foundation.